We're back to Neil Haley Show, and also the media giant effect. Cannot believe one day from my anniversary, 13 years in the business and radio and TV, and I'm excited to welcome the show the man that really is going to give you a mindset when you get to retire. Because honestly, we all think about specifically how much money we're going to have. We think about, oh, we're going to spend time with our grandkids or something else, but we don't think about what are we going to spend most of our time doing. And my guest today, Gary Surak, the author of How to Retire and Not Die, really understands this more than ever, and always love to have him on the show. Gary, thanks for stopping by again. And it's just such an important thing that people just don't think. You have come up with the genius idea that when you work with your clients, you don't just think about the money in their pocket. You think about really how are they planning how they're going to spend that money or how they're going to spend that time, because a lot of times they retire and the sad thing is they die.
Yeah, totally. If you're not retiring to something and you're just retiring from something, you have a big, big problem on your hands, and you have all the time in the world to fix it and no time to fix it, if that makes sense, because everybody thinks, oh, I have all the time. And you say, yeah, but it doesn't work that way. You really have to get your grip on this because it's a big deal. And if you don't manage it properly, it really can shorten your life, I believe.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And now we're going to talk about loves, likes, and hates, right? Is that pretty much the yeah. way we're taking it? Of I love my job, I hate my job, I like my job, but now we're going to go, I love my retirement, I like my retirement, I hate my retirement. And kind of have that conversation, because you had that on another podcast, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I really just had, it's so fascinating when I ask people what they're going to do in retirement. And some of them tell me, and I said, well, wait, let's start with something. I said, what do you love to do? What do you hate to do in life? Tell me what that is first. And boy, everybody has a really long list of stuff they hate to do, Neil. And you know, I have my own personal hates. I hate paying bills every month. It's just a drag to me. And there's a, you know, doing emails and all the stuff I have to do. And that stuff isn't my favorite thing to do. I have my likes and I have my loves. Well, anyway, I was talking to a client the other day, and he is retired. And he's fine. And we're talking about what he's doing in his spare time. And he said, well, this is awful. He said, I'm spending 3 hours a week mowing my grass. And I said, okay. He said, I hate mowing my lawn. I said, so let me ask you a really good question. Why are you mowing your lawn? He said, well, I have a lawnmower. I said, okay. I said, well, I have a suggestion. He said, what's that? I said, sell the lawnmower. And he looks at me and says, why would I do that? I said, well, then you wouldn't have to mow your grass. He said, well, then I have to hire someone and pay him to do it. I said, yeah, that's exactly the point. Let's start over. How much do you love cutting the grass? He said, I hate it. I said, okay, I think we have this problem solved. Neil, I can't tell you how many people are just like that. It just fascinates me. They're doing things they don't have to do, and they don't even know why they're doing them, really.
Because when you do a lot of things that you hate, what does that do to your body? What does that do to your mindset?
All of it. It eats it up. It's just like you would expect. You know, negative things bring negative things. And so I said to him, same guy, I said, well, what do you love to do? He said, I really like talking to people. And I said, well, how much of that are you doing on your lawnmower? He started laughing. And I said, why don't you find something where you can talk to people? So kind of a cool ending to the story is he's actually volunteering his time at some church serving food twice a week. And he said, Gary, it's so nice. He said, all these people come in. He said, we're bringing them meals. He said, they're underprivileged. They have their issues. He said, but they're very nice people. And I've gotten to know all of them. And he said, it's really kind of fascinating. He said, I look forward to seeing them and saying hello. And I think they enjoy my company because I'm always in a good mood.
See, that's nice. And that's what you have to do. Do you think I think we make the mistake before we retire to start thinking about what our loves, likes, and hates are. Because if we don't like being in the house and, you know, being stuck babysitting, we have to make sure that we, you know, the grandkids, then that's something you have to discuss earlier before retirement. Like, there's just different things. Or I really enjoy doing this, but no, I don't enjoy doing this, because there could be a honey-do list that you just don't like, right? You don't want to clean out the garage. This is just something you don't like to do, but you love to do this. So what do you recommend people do to create that love, likes, and hates planning for retirement?
I actually put them through an exercise in a book, How to Retire, Not Die, and I asked them to really sit down and think about what it is in life that they really hate doing and make a list. I said, it'll take you 3 minutes. In the end of 3 minutes, you'll have written so much down, you won't believe it. I said, I'd like you to take that list, then move it apart, and then put down stuff you really like to do and things that are like, it could be playing golf, it could be going for walks, it could be nature hikes, it could be whatever. It could be picking up sticks in your backyard. I don't really care what it is. And I said, and then do that for 3 minutes. And then the loves. And I said, the loves are what really counts though. I said, tell me what you really love to do. What really makes you happy? What brings you joy? And I just did this with a client the other day, and she said, travel. And I said, well, how much travel do you have booked? She said, well, I haven't booked any. And I said, why not? I said, well, all these things. I said, wait a minute. You just told me you love to travel and you have no travel booked. And she said, yeah. I said, whose fault is that? And she said, mine. I said, well, correct it. I said, how can you not do something? You have plenty of money to do this. And she said, well, I don't have anyone to travel with. And she said, well, I do. I could take. I said, you're good. I said, just set it down. So it's kind of funny, Neil, people just don't do that. And if they do that before they retire, they will find their life will be so much better.
I wish they could do it earlier, like when you're choosing a career, to choose the kind of career people should say. And they do this, you know, the career tests when they started, you know, you go and take it in college and they say, okay, let's see what your acumen is and what you like and what you dislike. And this will be the perfect fit. When ultimately it'd be interesting me looking back and saying this, there wasn't a real path for an entrepreneur or business owner. There really wasn't. It was always a career, not something. They looked at risk takers or different people, not, well, guess what? But even if you went to college, you can choose something that's it's not just a profession, but you become a business owner, you become this. So something to think about, career people out there. Now, I am sure that a lot of people love to work, and you take work away from a retirement, which we talked about in the last time you were on the show. It can be debilitating, can't it?
Oh, totally, Neil. And I was with someone yesterday, they work part-time. And he said, I'll never not work part-time, Gary. He said, it's really great. He said, two things. He said, one, gets me out of the house, big deal. He said, two, I can do that 3 days a week. And he said, the funny thing is I earn pretty decent money working part-time. He said, it's my screw around money. And he said, it's been great. He said, I'm making $20,000 a year. And that's what we're traveling on and doing dinners and everything. Our entertainment money is $20,000 a year. He said, and it's all from working 3 days a week, doing stuff I really love to do. And I think that's really important. And I talked to someone the other day. He's 66 years old. He sold cars his entire life. And they finally kind of decided he didn't want to do that anymore. And so he quit about a year and a half ago, and he was in the other day, and he's just depressed. And his name's Mark. And I said, Mark, why are you so sad? He said, I have to find something to do. I said, well, why did you stop selling cars? You were so good at that. You love that. He said, I don't know. He said, I just thought it was time for me to do something different. I said, well, how's that working out? And he said, I got to find something, Gary. I said, well, let me know. So we went through loves, likes, and hates. I don't know what it'll come up with, Neil, but it'll be something. And it should be. You've got to have something to do that keeps you motivated. And I personally love working. I mean, not every day is nirvana, but I enjoy myself. I still help people. I feel like I bring value to the table. That's why I do it.
When we bring value every day to what we do, we feel better about ourselves. It makes us feel good. It gives us that energy to want to get up and maybe have the same thing as a Groundhog Day. You and I don't have Groundhog Days. Every time someone else comes in, they're going to be talking about something else. You're going to learn something from your clients. As I learn when I get to interview people or I work with my clients or something, I have the best job in the world because I get to learn from people that are experts in so many things, either doing this show or working with my clients, that I take back in my brain and say, oh, wow, this is an experience. And then I get to help them as well. It's the best thing in the world. When we have that, when it's time for me to retire, I'm going to do this part-time forever till I die because it's just something that I enjoy. It's something that brings me motivation and gives me joy every day. And a lot of people are depressed. And I wonder how many retirees are depressed when it's coming out that so many people working are depressed. This is why these love, likes, and hates, they need to buy your book. And then they need to start getting into that checklist right now. Do you have any other stories of love, likes, and hates?
Yeah. It's funny. One of my friends likes to bake. And he's good. I mean, he is really good at what he does. And so we were talking, and he can't turn that into a business, but he's turned it into a great hobby. So his passion is baking. He makes cookies. He makes scones. He makes all kinds of interesting things. And then he screws them up all the time, and he makes them until he gets them right. And he told me it took him 15 times to get his scone down to the point where he really liked it. Now, he said everybody else thought it was great at 7. And he said, no, no. He said, I can do better. So his scones are really killer. They're coming in this week, and I'm kind of waiting for my scone bag. But you know, it's one of those things. He and I talked, and he said, you know, it's one of those things. I don't want to go to work for someone and turn this into a job. I just want to do it for fun and give my baked goods away. So I like that. So to me, that's a great love. I have one other person that actually she was just in today. She's moving to Kuwait. And she's reasons she's moving to Kuwait. She met someone online. They've gotten together. They've gone back and forth, and she fell in love. And she said, I'm moving to Kuwait City. I'm going to take a job there. And she said, I'm going to stay there for a few years, and he's going to work in his job for a few years. Then we're going to move back to the States. And she said, I'm really excited. And you know, just I said, how do you come up with stuff like this? She said, well, I was looking at my life and thinking, what do I want to add into my life that I haven't already done? She said, and I decided travel would be a good one. And she said, and I looked at where Kuwait was. She said, we can travel all over the world from there in places I've never been. Pretty cool, huh, Neil?
It's making sure you have an enjoyable life and love the life you live. And it's something else I think, Gary, you're helping retirees, but you can help everyone as a motivational person that, guess what? Don't wait for your wish list when you're ready to close to death, meaning create that wish list now, even if you're 30, even if you're 20, if you're 40. I think millennials are starting to understand that more, that they know about a wish list more and then even younger, but we need to establish this before our retirement, especially at 50, to start creating that wish list. What will we wish to do every day? And that I read that in your book, Gary, and I was blown away because the fact is wishing something that you wish to do and you're sitting doing whatever, and I'd rather do this, you better put this down in a journal now so that you prepare yourself. So when you're with someone like an expert like yourself, Gary, you can start saying, I want to do this. I want to do this. In life, we have to start giving ourselves more wants, right?
Totally. So I'll give you one last kind of cool thing that happened. A very good friend of mine calls me Saturday night, leaves a message on my machine, says, call me, Gary. It's really cool. So Linda and I are in the car driving to dinner up in Akron, and I call him and I say, okay, Ryan, what's up? Ryan is the front man for a band called The Shootouts. Ryan did my graphics on the book. He did the cover, and he's been my graphic artist, but he also is a really talented band. And he says, Gary, said, you aren't going to believe this. He said, my dream just came true. And I said, Ryan, you're too young to have a dream come true. He said, we are playing the Grand Ole Opry. And I said, you're doing what? And he said, we're in the Grand Ole Opry. I said, that's like playing Carnegie Hall for you know, for Americana music, which is what he does. He said, we're booked February 24th. So I went home that night, looked it up tickets. We have a direct flight from Akron, Canton to Nashville. And I'm going to call him up and tell him I got four of us coming in to see his show. But it's on my wish list. I thought, oh, Nashville, that'd be cool. So it added the wish list. I'm going to scratch that one off and we'll go check Nashville out and see Ryan in Grand Ole Opry. How's that for a story?
And then see, that's the thing, to go buy your book now, Gary, you'll be able to really start to think things out in your life into your retirement. And people that are stuck right now that just retired, and they could be any background, any situation, because they have to figure out their plan each and every day. And there's so many people, so that they don't end up in a nursing home. They do not end up in assisted living. They can figure things out, because once you start to get depressed and sad and not feeling, your body's going to start to deteriorate, and then you're not going to have the opportunity to live the life you want your last quarter of a century, right?
No question. And we're talking 25, 30 years, potentially. That's a long time. It's half of your life almost. And so you look at, how do I spend the last, you know, if you figure you're 60 years old, you live another 30, that's a big jump. So what do you do for the next 30? And that is really why I wrote the book, Neil, 100%. Because if you figure that out, your chances of living longer are really good.
Best place to go. Where can we go, Gary?
GarySurak.com. Amazon has it. I have to tell you, Neil, Australia. I don't know who in the world in Australia knows who I am, but we've been selling books like crazy in Australia. podcasting, amazing event. So it's got to be that, because I certainly haven't made any trips there. But Amazon, GarySurek.com, those work.
And you never know, social media. Social media is a big thing too. But we appreciate it, Gary, and thanks for stopping by.
Always a pleasure, Neil.
All right, you're listening and watching The Neil Haley Show, and we'll be back in just a moment.